And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Thursday, March 6, 2025. I am so excited to bring you today's program. I'm going to tell you, it's been too long. To kind of set this up a little bit, I was going through and thinking today, you know, we are right now a country divided. We are families are divided. Communities are divided. Everything is divided. And you've got one sort of ideology. It is really, to me, an evil ideology. I can't explain it. Demonic evil. And we saw it. We saw it with the address to Congress by President Trump. You saw this visceral hatred of all things sane and rational. And you saw a people as a group that hate us, and it's impossible to communicate with them. There's no point in trying to control them. There's no negotiating with these people. There's no point in making concessions. You know, politically, they must be defeated. But what about the social aspect? You know, how can one live in a household that's divided, or even in a community, a neighborhood that's divided, a city that's divided? I mean, think about the division and the disruption that we are seeing today. So I just want to throw that out there ahead of time. Folks, visit sat123.com. That's sat123.com. Please do that. You know, times are such that you're going to need an alternative form of communication. What happens if the cell phones go out? Well, that's a distinct possibility. Your answer, of course, is satellite phones. Sat123.com is the place to go. And also dark bags. Sat123.com, dark bags, and I'm going to tell you, all of these are important tools to have in your arsenal for your family. You can see it on the screen right there. Make sure you go there. Talk to the people there, whether it is a anti-ballistic backpack or an EMP shielding bag. I've got those. Or a satellite phone. Whatever your needs might be, they have it. Sat123.com. By the way, you can mention the Hagmann Report. All right, with me, this is, I am so grateful for Steve. Thank you so much for setting this up with me today. I've got Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. That's right. Yep. Stevequayle.com. And Renaissance Precious Metals and gensex.com. You know the list. It'll be at hagmannpi.com. As well as, you ready for this? Brace yourself. This man is like super busy. And he just is. He's on television programs on the Christian television network, and he's like all over. It's fantastic, spreading the message, the true message of the Bible and God. And I'm telling you, I'm just so thankful to have him back on the program, Pastor David Langford. So Steve and Pastor Langford together, which kind of makes me want to just take a step back. I'm going to just take a step back and I'm going to listen. Seriously, you do the same, please, and watch as well. And thank you for being in the chat, by the way. Please pay attention to what's being said. This is an extremely important program. And open your minds, open your hearts. Steve, bring it on in.
Well, first of all, one of the most divisive and I would say destructive understandings of Scripture is that the tribulation is a seven-year event. All of the scriptures testify against that. And for the record, Jesus' ministry on earth, after he was baptized and after the temptation wilderness, was 3.5 years. That's pretty much accepted by all scholars. So I'm on record as saying that God didn't give the devil twice the ministry time that he gave Jesus Christ. And Doug, you were talking about all hell breaking loose. So I've asked Pastor David Langford to come on because I don't know, this isn't flattery, but I don't know anybody that knows more scripture to back up the fact that the seven-year tribulation is a non-biblical number. And so we're going to talk about, you know, Daniel 70 weeks. So it's important that people get their time clock, their biblical calendar straight. And again, the way to do this is through the Bible itself. It's not what so-and-so thinks or so-and-so believes. It's what the scripture declares. So, David, thank you for coming on. And then just take it. And like I said, you need to go as long as you need. And if you want a break, give it back to me. But this is critical, Doug, because people are deceived. And Jesus said, see that you be not deceived. So, David, thank you for coming on, and thank you for the knowledge of the scripture and the calling of God on your life.
Well, thank you both for having me. It's a great, great privilege and a joy to be both with both of you tonight. I want to share one scripture. Doug made such a beautiful presentation there about the address to the Congress and both Senate, the division. And Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 27, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. So the just sees the wicked as an abomination, and the wicked see the just as an abomination. So this is why we're having such a profuse conflict in this hour, and why there's such a great clash that's taking place. I hope you don't mind, but I'd like just to pray for a moment here before we start. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight on the broadcast and to share from the Holy Scriptures. I pray that you will touch every heart. You will touch every mind. I pray that you'll open the understanding of everyone listening tonight, that as they hear the word of God, it would find a place of residence in their hearts, that they might comprehend and understand what they hear and what they read. I'm asking for your blessings. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to guide us through this tonight, Father. We ask it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we want to talk about the fallacy of the seven-year tribulation. If you go back and you try to find its origin, you'll find it in Daniel 9 and verse 27. And he, talking about the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So we're going to start at the very beginning of this verse. This is where people take and get the period 7 years. He shall confirm the covenant with 1 week. Most people have always been taught, they've always heard that the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel. But that's not what the Bible says. Eric, if you could put that picture up that you got from me earlier, I'd like for you to put that up and let the people see as an example. So Daniel says he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, meaning 1 week of years. If you look at that picture, Yitzhak Rabin, Yasser Arafat are shaking hands. They are the ones making the covenant, Islam and Judaism. Bill Clinton's arms are around both men. He's confirming their covenant. He's not making the covenant. He's just confirming it. That's what the Bible says. The Antichrist would confirm a covenant with many. Both men, Yitzhak Rabin, Yasser Arafat, represent many people. So he's going to confirm. I always use the analogy, if you're going to fly from Charlotte, North Carolina to Chicago, you make contact with the hotel where you're going to be staying. You give them your credit card and they'll give you a confirmation number. That confirmation number is a secondary action of something that you've already done. It's just a confirmation. You have a room when you get there. So if you'll go through your Bible, nowhere in the scriptures will you find a seven-year tribulation. And Steve and I have talked about this many times. You can study the scriptures, the Passover specifically, in the book of John. Jesus' ministry was 3.5 years. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Luke 3:23, he began his ministry at about the age of 30. Why 30? Because to be a priest, you had to be 30 years of age. You can find that in Numbers chapter 4, verse 3. Jesus is our high priest. So he had to be that mature to begin his ministry. And so we've been taught he was born in December, but Christ was actually born around September or October. The feast days vary every 2.5 years from September to October. Sometimes I call it Resurrection Sunday. The world calls it Easter. Sometimes Easter is in March. Sometimes it's in April. That's because every 2.5 years, you have to add a leap month to the Jewish calendar, better known as the Adar, to keep it synchronous with the lunar cycle. So Jesus was born between September and October. So he was born there. He began his ministry at about the age of 30. So then you add 3 years to that. It would put you back in the fall of the year, September, October. Now you add the half year, 6 months. That brings you back around to Passover. And at the Last Supper, he said, with desire, I have desired this Passover. This was going to be the one he was going to physically, literally fulfill when he went to the cross. I believe that the revelation of the Antichrist will be at Passover at the Temple Mount in the spring of the year. Why? You add 3 years to that, you're back at the Passover. Now add 6 months to it. Now you're back in September or October. That means Christ will come in the fall of the year, fulfill the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. You're all familiar with the Feast of Trumpets. The people use the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That'll be when Christ returns. The second feast is the Feast of Atonement. It'll be in Zechariah chapter 13. It says that he's going to open up a fountain of grace upon the house of David. That's the Feast of Atonement for Israel to get saved as he's coming back. And then the third and final feast there is Feast of Tabernacles, Revelation 21:3, and God himself shall tabernacle with men. Jesus will be here on earth and we will be with him. Getting back to Daniel 9:27, it says he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. There may be a 7-year covenant made, but it won't be for 7 years because the revelation of the Antichrist will happen in the middle of that week. And it will be at that time when he reveals himself. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there who have prognosticated and tried to identify the Antichrist. No one knows who the Antichrist is. Why? Because it is a revelation. And furthermore, it is a revelation to the church. The world will not understand. The world will not, it won't mean anything to the world when he declares himself to be God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 times in that chapter, Paul the Apostle spoke of the revelation of the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, Paul said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So there's your first time that Paul says it's going to be a revelation, a revealing to the church. Verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 2:6, and now you know what withholdeth, that he, the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. He's going to have time. How much time does he have? 3.5 years. I believe emphatically, Steve and I have discussed this, he got the first half of Daniel's 70th week, because it would be after 69 weeks that Messiah Christ would be cut off or crucified. So there's only 3.5 years left remaining, not 7 years, but only 3.5 years. And that will be the time God will give to the Antichrist. And the last verse there is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Again, you can search your Bible thoroughly. You will never find a one set of 7 years relative to the Antichrist or to the tribulation. The tribulation is only 3.5 years. That's all it is. We'll prove that in Daniel chapter 12. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there with me. I haven't committed all these verses to memory, but I know where they are. Daniel chapter 12, verse 6. Now, this sums it up, because this is Christ. The man in the white linen is Jesus. And Jesus tells expressly how long the great tribulation is. Daniel 12 and 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders or these astonishments? King James could have used a better word there instead of wonders, because it's not going to be a wonder other than it being amazing how great the destruction will be. But listen to this, verse 7, Daniel 12 and 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, that's Jesus, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and sware to him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, a times, and a half. Time is one. Times is two. Now you have three, and then you have half a year. So Jesus tells us right there in that passage how long the great tribulation will be. I know there are a lot of people who say differently, but we have to go by the scriptures. We have to go by the word of Almighty God. Daniel 7 and verse 25. And he, again, the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High God. I'll show you in Revelation 13, these great words against the Most High God, these are blasphemous words. These are not words that he's lauding Christ, magnifying Christ, or glorifying Christ. He's blaspheming Christ, these great words. So again, Daniel says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, one, times two, now we have three, and half a time. So Daniel tells us here in Daniel 7 that the Antichrist only has 3.5 years. Jesus tells us there in Daniel 12, verse 7, that the great tribulation is only for 3.5 years. If you have your Bibles, look with me quickly to the book of Revelation. I said I would show you these things. So I'm going to show you the references to the 42 months, 1260 days, or time, times, and half a time. We see that first in Revelation chapter 11 with the two witnesses, the two prophets. Revelation chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. John is not measuring the temple for construction. He's measuring the temple for destruction. Jerusalem is going to be razed and destroyed. Isn't it amazing? In 1967, Israel was able to secure Jerusalem. And then in the first Trump administration, he moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, saying Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. All of this is coming to fruition right in front of us. And by the way, the new Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, made the statement within 2 weeks of being seated in the cabinet, we now have an opportunity to build the third temple. That ought to excite you, my friend. It lets us know we're getting deeper and deeper into the time of the end. Going back to Revelation 11 and 2. But the court, which is without, meaning the outer court, the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. Again, that's 3.5 years. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Again, you're seeing always a 3.5 year period. There are no 7 year scriptures whatsoever in the book of Revelation. They are always 42 months, 1,260 days, or time, times, and half a time. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. And the woman, speaking of Israel, fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she should feed her there 1,260 2 years, 260 days. Again, 3.5 years. Again, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly unto the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. Again, it's always 3.5 years. And the last verse there I want to share is in Revelation 13, verse 5. And there was given unto him, the Antichrist, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. As I shared with you in Daniel 7:25, those great words are words of blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, as I said, they may sign a peace treaty for 7 years. All prophecy teachers today will tell you this. We don't know much about the first half of that 7 year. Why? It's already passed. When Jesus was cut off after 69 weeks, I believe he went into the 70th week. Then he was crucified. We went into the church age. And now all we're waiting for is for the clock to start ticking again. That clock will start when the Antichrist stands in the temple and says to the world, I'm God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He will oppose Islam, Judaism, Christianity. He will oppose every religion. And he will declare, I am God. And with the power, with lying signs and wonders that he will have, he will deceive the people. The people will be deceived. And of course, the false prophet in Revelation 13 coerces the people to make an image likened to the beast. And he gave breath, it says, and it means life. He gave it like it's breathing, the statue, whatever it will be. That's where AI, I believe, will play a significant role. It'll almost be human. And that's when Israel will know, when that's put in the temple, that they have signed or been associated with a false god, a false deity. John 5:43, Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Initially, they will accept him. But then, when he breaks or stops the daily sacrifice. Now, people, and I'm going to give it back to you in just a minute, Steve. There are those who do not believe there will be a literal physical sacrifice in the temple. But the Bible tells us something different. Daniel 12:11, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. I won't get into the 1290, but I will reiterate. And from the time that the daily sacrifice, they will be making sacrifices, he stops it. Once he stops it, it will be taken away. Then he will stand and he will say, I'm God. And Jesus quoted Daniel in Matthew 24:15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not. And in most Bibles, it'll be in parentheses, let him that have understanding understand this. So there's an element of understanding it and comprehending it, but it's coming. And again, it won't be for 7 years. It will be only for 3.5 years. Steve, I'll give you your time now.
Well, thank you, David. And again, it's critical that everyone understands that opinions, mine included, if it isn't based on the Word of God, it's usually emotional feelings, and it's not accurate. People want things that make them feel good about their understanding of the future, especially the book of Revelation. Now, I want to make a statement. The Antichrist does not mean against Jesus Christ. It means in place of Jesus Christ. And David, you basically just said that Hegseth said that, you know, that the temple's going to be built. And it's interesting because some rabbis and some, you know, religious figures, high-ranking ones, are saying already their Messiah is getting ready to appear. Now, I want everyone to understand the Messiah that they're talking about is not Jesus Christ. It is absolutely the Antichrist. And most people think that The Antichrist is like an entity that will come out and say, hey, I'm the Antichrist. No, he will take the place of Jesus Christ. And I want everyone to recognize this, the difference between those who are historicists and wanting to put everything into the realm of the seven-year non-existent tribulation. They cannot see what's before them. And as Pastor Langford just said, until God opens our eyes, when the sacrifice and AI, whatever it is, and by the way, David, I don't know if you know this, but I consider AI alien, as in from other dimensions, fallen angels, demons, and they will give life unto the beast. And now, as you know, Doug, and we've done AI programs together, it's advancing at such a stage. So when I hear people saying, oh, the temple, the temple, the temple, I got to tell you, Jesus was walking by the temple with the disciples, and they were overwhelmed because they'd never seen it before. And they said, Jesus, look at the temple. And they missed the fact that the Son of God, the creator of everything, was telling them, I tell you this, there will not be one stone left unturned. So I have a little bit of an antagonistic viewpoint. Well, that's just blunt towards the people that say, oh, Brother Quayle, aren't you excited? I said, are you kidding me? The temple that they're talking about rebuilding and offering sacrifices, and you know, David, they've done everything. They have the tools. They have the priest garb. They have everything. I said, but you understand when they say Messiah, they're not talking about Jesus. Jesus made the statement that he came, and the Jewish people didn't receive him. No. But he said, another will come claiming to be him, and you will receive. So I think, Doug, as we're talking about this stuff, we're so close to that point. We're so absolutely far along in the biblical time frame of the end times that I got to tell you, when people say that, and again, I say, do you understand who's coming into that temple? Because again, the Jewish high priests are preparing the people for the presentation of Antichrist. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I mean, this is their goal, is to re-implement the daily sacrifice. This is their hope. You know, having been over there, you cannot talk to the Jewish people from the New Testament perspective. That's just a history book to them, because I tried and I saw I couldn't get anywhere with them. But they're anticipating what they believe will be their Messiah, but it will be false. It will be fake. It will not be Jesus Christ. And there's much dispute, much talk. Where will America be at that time? I don't know where America will be. I believe if America was functional, able to operate correctly, or however you want to term it, they would come and defend Israel. But it will get so bad in Israel, they'll have no one to turn to but God. And then they will ask the true Jesus Christ to come and deliver them. And he will. He will set his feet down at the Mount of Olives. But the destruction, the chaos, what's coming is very calamitous, needless to say. For the last 2 years, I've been encouraging people to pray for a wartime president. I don't mean to be negative or disparaging in any way, but I believe we're headed for war. It is inevitable, and I'm not going to say that the Third World War will bring us right to Armageddon, but all this is coming, whether we like it or not. China is ratcheting up. The whole world is preparing for this, because I just read something the other day. There's just a handful of World War II veterans left. They're all mostly gone now. They've all died. And if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And I see that. And personally, I believe that Donald Trump is a wartime president. I believe he's the man for the hour. As I was talking to Doug earlier today, I have reservation, though. I don't know why I have reservation. I'm glad he was elected. I'm glad he's the president. I pray for him, his family, his grandchildren. I wouldn't want to see something happen to use one of them to bend him to do something that the world wants him to do, because he is a disruptor, and they don't like that. And they want to bring the new world order to fruition. And anybody that gets in the way, they'll take them down. I learned in 1995, when the college student got up behind Yitzhak Rabin and shot him in the back, they can do what they want to do. That's hard to imagine that the Mossad could have let that actually happen. But it did, because there were people in Israel who thought Yitzhak Rabin was taking the peace accord too far, and they were trying to stop it. So they figured the best way to stop it is to stop him and bring it to naught. But for those who are looking for a seven-year scenario, you will not find it. Once the revelation of the Antichrist is made, the clock begins to tick. That's why they're in Revelation 13 and 5, and he shall continue 42 months. He will endorse, he will confirm this treaty between Israel and the Islamic world, but then he'll have this power, this military power, government, and might to stop what's taking place. And sadly, excuse my analogy, but that's when all hell's going to break loose. It will be great tribulation like the world has never seen before, and it's going to be tough. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to develop a prayer life and time in the Scriptures. The Scriptures are going to give you strength. And when you pray, you're getting into the presence of God, and God will strengthen you that you can have the strength that you need for whatever's coming. None of us know. I mean, just think a few years ago, just like that, COVID and the world shut down. It's amazing how quickly our world can change in just a matter of days. I mean, it stopped. The world stopped. And we're on the verge of another event. I don't know what it is, but we need to stay in the place where we can hear from God and be led by the Holy Spirit, because I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who I love, I know whom I serve, and I know he will take care of me and watch over me, because I'm his child. If you're not his child, you need to become a child of God, my friend. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think that, David, right now, as the whole world wonders after the beast, we're watching World War III. It's not, as you guys in the South say, fixing to happen. It's happening before our very eyes. And even tonight, and tonight again for the record is March 6, 2025, we're seeing unusually cryptic and also open talk of World War III. What will President Zelensky do? By the way, he's not president now, but, what will he do to basically pay back, and I'm talking pay back the United States for what he sees as abandonment? You see France, you see Germany, you see all the NATO nations saying, we're going to build an army, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. They're not going to do squat. They're broke, every one of them. Their central banks are broke. This is the world I live in. And the bottom line is that they don't have the wherewithal. The president of one of the biggest defense companies in Germany, Rheinmetall, that's my best job at pronouncing German, is said it would take 10 years, and they're talking trillions of dollars. But at the same time, there's rumors in the background that Zelensky's going to do something to provoke the Russians. And Doug, this is pretty problematic, that they're going to absolutely try and use a nuclear weapon to initiate World War III. Now, we know the man of peace has to come on the scene, obviously, the Antichrist. So he needs a false Armageddon to claim he is the man of peace. And I tell people, the only thing that Satan has to do to bring about peace is just tell his demons and his fallen angels, back off, boys. Right. So watching right now, in my opinion, and I spent a lot of time with the information there to get people to understand, we're one bad attitude away from a world war. Now, I want to make this clear, too, that I want to make sure everyone understands this. God does not come to the aid of Israel at this point. That's at a different time. And the punishment for their apostasy and all of the illicit acts they're doing, it's come into the remembrance of the living God. So There is nothing in Israel, nothing in the United States that can be an effective anti-ballistic missile shield. Hypersonic missiles, David, you know, as an old car racer, if you and I are, that's something that we both enjoy, not at 70, but still want to do it. The point is if we're going 100 miles an hour and something blasts by us at 200 miles an hour, it's going to get to its destination twice as fast. And right. So when you're dealing with hypersonic missiles, guys I know in the world of weaponry, basically designers of it say, do you realize, Steve? And I said, oh, yeah, I realize that in essence, all the NATO capitals are less than 102 seconds of away from devastation. So the point is, President Putin said all along, look, he's not changing his song. If you send troops into the Ukraine, if you send NATO troops or any more arms, we're going to consider them enemy combatants. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that that's what the, if you will, the vendetta of Zelensky is trying to provoke. The financial system of the world is basically collapsing. Germany, remember David Wilkerson's vision, Germany goes broke first, then follows Japan, then 2 weeks later follows the United States. I posted, Doug, a story that basically said Germany and Japan are holding talks on their economy. If people could understand, and look, it's our job to not, that's not a put down, but most people are not allowed to know this information. And it doesn't come from the nightly news, and it doesn't even come from Fox News. The dilemma of the global debt world is off the charts. Now, Russia doesn't have any outside debt. And our suicidal, sanctimonious sanctions have hurt the ability. The United States has no gunpowder. The United States has no lead refinery. The United States has, no, this isn't putting down the country. It's just giving a reality check because Barack, the abomination of damnation, that's what I call him, the Biden Frankenstein crime cartel has done everything. And Doug, you know, we've done shows, I'm just refreshing your memory, on all of the arms and armament that were in the United States all being shipped overseas. And now you've got President Trump, a wartime president, saying, I'm going to pull these people out. And the European nations say, if you don't stand with us, we're going to kick you out. That means all our military bases are going to be off limits to you. And so the fighting between NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and the U.S., which the U.S. has been funding NATO all these decades, pretty much since the end of World War II. I'm saying that to say this, Doug and David, we are at an inflection point, and we are at the point where one bad attitude and one two bad attitudes. In this case, it would be Zelensky. And then you bring in Turkey, Erdogan, and you've got the perfect storm brewing because you've got one man that wants to rule over Ukraine and that which they steal from Russia. It'll never happen. Russia has never lost a war in 1,000 years. When I tell the truth, that doesn't mean I'm a Russian agent, although we've both been teaching all our lives, David, that when a man does right, that which is right in the sight of the Lord, God will bless that man. Yes, it doesn't mean that they're saved. And I pray he is. But what it means is when you defend the biological creation of a man and a woman, which Putin has, when you speak out against the deranged woke movement, when you speak out against unjust measures, ladies and gentlemen, unjust measures is the nature of the U.S. dollar, because people are going to say, we no longer will take your dollars, and they're doing that in the background. The commodities are absolutely zooming in price. I don't drink coffee, but coffee's going up, chocolate's going up. I mean, I never thought I'd see the day when just a normal chocolate bar would be $7. Well, I can get them for $3. And good, if you like chocolate, buy all you can get. But the point is that we're seeing price inflation that's going to be off the charts. And this is what a starvation nation that can be controlled by food. Henry Kissinger said, with food, we control the people. With oil, we control the nations. So I think, Doug, the point is that we are so poised at a point of something blowing up, and the economy, it's not just us that's bad. Every European nation doesn't have any gold. They don't. Doesn't have any real production of military equipment. Again, Germans said it'd take them 10 years and $1 trillion. Britain saying they're going to send 100,000 men to the Ukraine, and they don't even have guns or ammo for their 30,000-40,000 men. Some people say it's 70,000. They can't even basically equip the military they have. The issue is simply this. The times we live in are perilous. And David, I'll turn it right back to you. But perilous times, Paul said, will come. And I'm saying perilous times are here.
Amen. Jesus there in Matthew 24:6, he said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I want everyone to know these things must come to pass. I have no joy in expressing that type of a Bible scripture, but Jesus said these things must come to pass. The world is converging on a third world war. Iran will take sides. Russia, North Korea, the Philippines, South Korea, Australia, Japan, all of these are going to take sides. You know, we're supposed to defend Taiwan and Japan. So it will turn into a world conflagration. And I saw today on Drudge, or yesterday on Drudge Report, the head of the agriculture department said, buy your chickens. You save money. It's cheaper than buying eggs. We're just that tenuous to catastrophe. I want to read a scripture here in Matthew 23. This is what Israel's doom was sealed. Christ came to them. They came into his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. So here in Matthew 23, beginning at verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's twofold. That happened with Titus. His dad, Vespasian, came and was attacking Jerusalem. The emperor died in Rome. He went back to be crowned emperor, and Titus finished it off. But Jesus, he sealed their doom right there. He said, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to bring you back to me, but you would not. And I look at that about America. How many times has God tried to bring America back to repentance? You know, one of the things I see that's lacking in America, in spite of the election, the outcome of the election, we don't witness repentance. There's a famine of God's word. Few preachers dare preach against sin. They want everybody to feel good. If everybody feels good and goes to hell, what good is that? Mark 8:36-37. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? People covet so much today. They lust so much today. And in the end, you take nothing with you. Life, in all reality, is very empty at times. But the true life is in Christ, and there's eternal life in him. And we've got to live accordingly that we might enter into the kingdom of God with him. You know, I hear people talk about going to heaven, dying and going to heaven. When will we realize this is not about us going to heaven? It's about Jesus coming back to the earth. Jesus is coming here. Jesus is coming here to establish his kingdom. His government will cover the earth. Righteousness will begin to pervade and permeate every aspect of society. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And there's people today who hate him. Well, just hang on. When he gets here, he's going to deal with your hate. He will slay you with the breath of his mouth. He will burst you asunder with that rod of iron. That's what John said in Revelation 19. He's going to rule with a rod of iron, not a pacifist, not what would Jesus do? I love you, Jesus. No, no. He's going to be a ruler, and he will rule with the rod of iron. And anyone that gets in his way, the Bible says there in Isaiah, he will slay them. Now, I don't know whether he'll do it personally or he will have angels to slay them. But if they commit a sin worthy of death, he's going to take them out. And you think about Matthew 25. He's going to gather the sheep nations and the goat nations. The sheep are on the right hand and the goats are on the left. In our world, if you're on the right hand, you're conservative. If you're on the left, you're woke, you're ignorant, you're stupid, you do silly things. That's who's going to be on his left hand. And he's going to sentence them to hell. And I think about Luke 13. The Bible says that the wicked, I don't know how this is going to happen. I'm not a genius. They're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they themselves cast out where? Into outer darkness. I don't know how they're going to know that's Abraham, that's Isaac, and that's Jacob. I don't know how they will know that, but they will know that somehow, some way, and they will be forever destroyed. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, he comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. You have to obey the word of God. And I know people sometimes think I'm a little bit hard. That's okay. I'd rather be hard and be right with God than to be tepid, lukewarm, and indifferent and lose out with God in the end. He said, I would you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's hot vomit. That's what that is. That's grotesque. I know that. But that's what the scripture says. If you look at that word spew in the Greek, it says vomit. You're going to vomit people out. And I know today, the preaching today is so pathetic. The teaching today is so pathetic. The only way people are challenged today in Christianity is their pocketbook, their wallet. Where's the discipleship? The root word of disciple is discipline. Where's the discipline in our lives to live for God? Listen, I love fast cars. I love all sorts of stuff. But I learned a long time ago, if I did not keep my life disciplined, I would backslide and lose out with God. It ain't hard to backslide. Let me say that again. It's not hard to backslide. Miss a day here, a day there, don't pray, don't read your Bible. And the next thing you know, you begin to accept things. You begin to embrace things that you didn't one time embrace. Look at what's happened to America. Look at the stupidity of these congressmen and senators hollering, shouting, using all the worst four-letter language out there, cursing like sailors, and they're nothing but carnival barkers. They're like coon dogs that treat a raccoon, and they can't get the raccoon, but they keep barking. And I thought about this today. Donald Trump is a representation of righteousness. What is the root word of righteousness? Right, R-I-G-H-T. These people hate righteousness so bad, it doesn't matter what it is that's right. They will castigate it, criticize it, find fault in it, put it down, lie on it. It's amazing. And yet, there are those who continue to vote for these people. There's something wrong when people profess to be a Christian and cast their lot with transgenderism. I am so sick and tired of this stuff about surgery, refiguring the body, hormone replacement therapy. Listen, you can do all of that you want to. A woman is going to keep her woman mind, and a man's going to keep his male brain. You can't change that. You can't change that. You do all the things you want to do. They will never be right trying to do all of this other superficial stuff, because when God gave you a female brain, that's how your body's going to operate. You can cut, amputate, add on, whatever you want to do. It will never, ever work because the mind is not designed that way. A man's mind is designed one way and a woman's another way. A man's brain doesn't say to the mammary glands, you need to produce milk, you need to ovulate, you need a menstrual cycle. That's not in a man's brain. These people are stupid. I mean, they are absolutely moronic, I'm telling you. And you need to get close to God. You need to let him be your refuge and cover you and protect you. We are living in the last days, and it's not going to get any better. With all respect to Donald Trump, when I hear golden age, when I hear that phrase, golden age, I have fear, consternation. Why? As Steve said earlier, the last days are going to be perilous or dangerous and full of savagery. We're getting there deeper and deeper by the day. We need to wake up, talk to God, and walk with God. He'll show us the way and keep us from being lost in the end. Forgive me for my exuberance here, but I'm telling you, it's a serious thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, Doug, do you want to respond? I don't want to keep
leave you out.
No, everything that's being said here tonight needs to be said. You know, the only thing I in preparation for the show, somebody needs to hear this. I mean, there's one person, there might be 100, there might be 1,000. Look, I don't know, but people need to hear exactly this. And I'm so grateful that both of you are here to lay this out. So thank you for this. That's the only thing I've got to say to that. And Pastor, thank you for being righteous. And you're correct. I mean, this perversion that we are under, especially, I mean, it's just truly evil, whether it be infanticide or transgenderism. It's really a blood sacrifice to Satan, all of this.
Right.
But thank you. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think that times are critical, and I want to challenge anybody that goes to, I don't know if you know my new word, David, it's called an ichabodorium, okay? That's a church where the glory of the Lord has departed. The word Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. And if you don't hear the name of Jesus, and you never hear the word repent, you're in the wrong place, and they have become apostate. Ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to tell you the lateness of the hour. We're trying to tell you that God will not forsake you, but do not forsake him. Do not take the Lord for granted. And David, people think, well, I know Jesus. I said, with that attitude, I doubt it. And they, you know, I accept him as a child. Well, then you better accept him as an adult and repent.
Amen.
The most hated word beside the name of Jesus is repent. I'm telling you, where's the resurrection in repentance? Where was the Spirit of God manifested after John the Baptist baptized people and they repented? And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the wannabes showed up and said, we want to be baptized too, because they were looking at a religious tradition, but they didn't understand it's a change of heart. And what is there's so much absurdity, that's a good word, there's so much a demonic presence. And even Dimitri Dudeman, when the angel told him why God was going to allow, and it's in Dudeman's vision, Henry Gruber's vision, the destruction of the United States was because the church had abandoned God, remember? Right. They have allowed divorce, they've allowed pornography, and all of the, I would call this, superstars of soon-to-be hell's population are leading their flock astray. And Doug, this is really troubling because, in essence, the devil neutralizes the faithful through sin. And Jesus said, if we confess our sin, he's just and faithful to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that is a license for continued licentiousness or to go on sinning. Paul said, God forbid. But I think where we're at is so late in the game. And David, we always know about the false prophet, and we're taught that, and the Antichrist, he who takes the place of Jesus Christ. But the two witnesses, and I believe it's clear, it's Enoch and Elijah. And you know, people want to fight me and say, and they really do not like that. They say, no, it was Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. No, it's not that at all. It basically is giving man once to die and once a judgment. And I asked the Lord about that. He said the power of the evil one, meaning Satan, and the false prophet will be so complete that only my witnesses that have been in heaven, that have never died, coming back can challenge the false prophet and the false prophet and the Antichrist with their lying signs and wonders with the true wonders of God. And I don't think most people understand that, because I believe that when the Antichrist is revealed, that concurrently the two witnesses show up on the scene and they begin to tell people and preach the true gospel of repentance, that that man is not who he claims to be. And we know that the two witnesses have a short period of time before the world kills them, but they can't kill them before God's time. And again, we get back into the 42 months. So Doug, this is really interesting and it's really important. The evil now that's being loosed on the earth is beyond anybody's imagination or anybody's experience to date, except the Luciferians, the Satanists, and the those who have opened the doors of hell, the portals of hell. And Jesus didn't say they weren't going to open, but he said they will not prevail. And so, in essence, the only power to overcome that is the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, David, I know you and I grew up in real signs and wonders, real gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's like the modern church says, now we got our computers, now we got our, and unfortunately this is true, now we got our concubines. You know, I said, well, you better learn the same lesson. We have such a failure, moral failure, in the leadership, and I'm astonished, Doug. I'm just astonished. And David, will you please address that? Because the seduction has been the thing that the gospel has been reduced by, and some of the most prominent, actors on the stage of Christian TV are falling, and yet too many people are still falling for it. So go ahead, Pastor.
You made a very profound statement, how that sin neutralizes the gospel. It neutralizes preachers and pastors. They lose the anointing of the Holy Ghost in their lives. And I, like Steve, he has his sphere where he lives. I live in Christian media. And if I would share with you some of the things that's taking place with some of the largest ministries in America, from drunkenness to sodomy, pedophiles, adultery, you name it, they're doing it. They're doing it. And here's the tragedy. Here's the tragedy. I have pastored a church for 27 years. I was never afraid to say, if there's something wrong in my life, I want somebody in the congregation to come to me and say, hey, pal, you need a checkup. If I'm wrong in any place of my life, I want to be where God can speak to me through someone. But you know what that tells me? Most nominal churches don't have enough of God. The congregation is not close enough to God to discern the sin that is in the lives of the men in the pulpit. And it's becoming nothing but a debacle. It is sad. It is tragic. It is unbelievable what is accepted in Christianity today. And that spirit of seduction, that Jezebel spirit that comes over a church, and people begin to embrace and accept anything. I have visited churches, I don't know how many, in the last 4 or 5 years. I've seen young people on the pulpit singing, leading in worship, and their butt cheeks are hanging out of their shorts. That's how pathetic it's gotten. And every young man in that church is looking. All that does is make him crave more for the flesh. I've seen things up like, what is going on? You know, people say, well, you're being a legalist. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. We need to be right with God. God is to be revered. If you've never been in the presence of God in a mighty way, you don't understand the gravity of the hour. When God is in our midst, the Holy Ghost smites our hearts and makes us realize we're lost. We're lost without God. We're sinners. We need to repent. We need to say, God, save me. I'm lost. But there's not enough conviction in the churches that demands the people repent, because the pastor is living like hell. He doesn't have what he needs in his life, but that's where we are today. And you know what? Sadly, tragically, it's only getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And that's what the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. People in the pulpit, their motive is to manipulate you, to deceive you. I saw something the other day. I won't call any names. I'll try to be diplomatic tonight. But the man was acting like he was a prophet. He was on his phone. What he had done, they had registered. He would go to their Facebook and found out who they were and what some of their mother or father or sibling's name was or whatever, and act like he's prophesying to them. That is deception. That is duplicitous. That's a con artist. And Paul said in Ephesians 4:14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That man holding that phone acting like he's a prophet, that's the sleight of men. That's cunning. That's crafty. For what? Deceiving the people. And when you look up that word sleight in the Greek, the Greek word is kubos, K-U-B-O-S, cube, dice, gambling, taking a risk, taking a chance. That's what's happening when you go to a church that preaches false doctrine, that accepts anything. You're gambling with your soul through false doctrine. False doctrine will always destroy you. And there's just enough truth there to make you believe this is real, this is factual, this is honest. No, it's not. This book right here, this Bible, you better get your faith in the Word of God. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the Word of God is not going to pass away. And today, there's a spirit. It's like everywhere I go, I sense the filthiness, the uncleanness of the atmosphere, the environment. It's no longer wholesome. It's no longer precious. It's no longer godly. I was praying the other day and I said, God, don't let me die not having a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled church to attend. I don't want to die like that. I want to be where God is and where God can help us and touch us. Steve?
Well, what I've learned, Pastor, and everyone, is this. It's not those who say, Lord, Lord. It's those who Jesus says, I call you friends for the purpose of proximity to him. I'll tell you how I see it simply, is that where there is no Jesus preached, there is no Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's command from God the Father is to lift up Jesus. And if Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And Doug, this is true. When I see people that are ministers of the cloth at P. Diddy's I forget what they call it. And when I see men who have been accused by 12 different women, and I've heard it with my own ears, and I won't name names, and saying, if I'm exposed to this, I'm going to go up on the hill and kill myself. That's a true statement multiple times. Is that not right? Because David's a witness, I'm a witness. By the way,
amen.
Go ahead, David. I mean, is that not true?
I guess so. Go ahead for just a minute.
Okay. Well, here is the thing. The tree is known by the fruit it bears. And what's important, Doug, is we're seeing right now, so there's no difference in the world. Look, if I'll say this, a rather large preacher is shown at a Diddy what do they call those things, Doug, where he was throwing basically orgies?
I don't know. I just call them, you know, perverse parties. I don't know.
There's a name for it. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I remember when I said Hillsong would be found to be Hillsong. And I love some of the songs they wrote, but it was Darlene Zelish that wrote the songs. And when the head of the ministry of Hillsong, oh, don't get offended, when he's caught in adultery, when his underpastors are caught in adultery, and it's multiple cases. Look, I think these guys must be flashing back to Solomon, and I'm not kidding when I use this word, multiplying their concubines. And I say what they'll find out in those women, they'll turn out to be porcupines. I'm not putting down the women, but the men will be stuck with the quills that they can't pull out unless Jesus helps them out. And so we're fighting tonight, everyone, for anybody who's a hanger-on listening to Hagmans. I know it's easy to criticize and basically belittle and go on the chat rooms or whatever the deals are, but we're talking about a time unlike any other in history, and except the Lord Jesus Christ intervenes in your life, intervenes in my life, and I love the word repentance. And Doug, you remember years ago, Pastor Langford and I had I don't know how many sessions, David, 3, 4? Of repenting for our nation's sins and our own sins. And to my knowledge, there aren't many radio in those days. It was radio, or, you know, before podcasts, or was it during podcasts? But it was the most profound time that I can think. And Doug, I literally took a Tupperware, is, you know, kind of a square Tupperware deal, and I went out and grabbed a bunch of dirt, you know. And I put my hand in it, and I kept my hand in that while Pastor Langford was praying or I was speaking, to remind myself that ultimately, ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Amen.
Stand before the living God, we all must. But it's important for people to understand, with Jesus, he erases the handwriting on the wall that was basically all of our sins, all of our failures. And what I see is the absolute avoidance of the name of Jesus. By the way, that shows everybody the control that Satan has. If someone will not name the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, chances are they have taken a blood oath to Lucifer. And when you do that, Doug, I don't know, most people probably don't know this. Russ knew it. Dizdar, God bless him, I miss him. But the point is that they cannot even name the name of Jesus because it brings them into the context of eternal damnation. And it's important for people to understand, and go ahead, David, because I want to bring people into what's going on in papal Rome right now. So if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and share whatever comments you have, because in essence, what was it? Somebody said the fish dies from the head first, and we've got a lot of people who are heads of churches, and that's why I call them now. If they don't preach Jesus, don't preach repentance, don't talk about the need to walk with Jesus, then in my opinion, they're ichabodoriums. The glory of the Lord is departed, and anybody that wants to go to a dead church, you're going to end up eternally damned. It doesn't matter how strong you think you are. It doesn't matter how brilliant you think you are. I just want to go hear what he says. Well, I'm telling you what, I'll decipher his entire sermon. You're going to hell if you listen to him. Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. You know, Steve and I were having a phone conversation several weeks ago, and Steve brought up a particular minister, and I said, yes, he's been associated with P. Diddy. And as soon as I said that, a voice came over the phone and said, this phone call is being recorded. Well, of course, Steve and I hung up, and we called back again a few minutes later because we were speaking about things that people are trying to stop. They're trying to stop the exposure. They're trying to stop the truth. And we're in an hour right now when the truth is the only thing that's going to set people free. If you look at our nation, you look at the state of the church, everything is deceptive and duplicitous. It's almost impossible to find a church where the Word of God is being preached without compromise. The cathedral in Washington, where Donald Trump and his family and J.D. Vance, and they were all sitting there, and that woman, she's not a bishop, though she says she is, but she's not qualified. To be a bishop, Paul said, you must be the husband of one wife. How can a woman fulfill that passage? Well, she can't. But she dressed down the president on his stance. There is where you think you should always find the truth and hear the truth, but it wasn't there. It was a political speech. It was a statement to impinge, to castigate, to criticize a man that is trying to do what's right. This is why right now our nation is in such bad shape. They're attacking everything that's right. You would think everyone would be happy to know where all this money has been going. That's why I want to encourage everyone, pray for exposure. Pray God will shine his light on all of this, and it will all come out so that those who want the truth, want to know the truth, can see what's really been taking place and just how corrupt all of this is. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know this money's coming back to the politicians through different avenues, through different venues. That's why there's no on the memo where it went. No accountability. And that's our money. And we've become nothing but subjects. And that's why the ministry has deteriorated so much, because they also are involved in things they should not be involved in. And I want to share a scripture in Jeremiah 29, verse 7. This scripture has been on my heart for several months. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Now I know God is using Jeremiah to tell the people, you're going into captivity. But whatever city you go into in Babylon, pray for the peace of that city. Why? If Babylon had peace, the Israelites would have peace. If there was no foreign government, no foreign military attacking Babylon, Israel would have peace. And I want to invite, encourage everyone, pray for the peace of your city. It is important. Not every one of you can get out into the country. Not every one of you have access to be in a rural environment. But pray for the peace of your city, because we don't know what's going to happen. And I believe the devil is trying to stir up stuff right now. He's plotting evil to hurt America, to hurt us in every way he possibly can. But I do believe that God is faithful. And if we will live right and do right, I believe God will watch over us and protect us in the days that are to come. But I want to assure you this. If you're not living right, why should God be obligated to you? Why should God be committed to you when you're not committed to him? If you're committed, I believe he'll take care of you and watch over you in the coming days. Steve, you want to talk about the Vatican?
I do, David, because when Jesus said, you know, that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, I want everybody to understand something. This isn't an indictment against Catholics or their faith. I don't agree with their theology, but it's an indictment against the first Jesuit pope. And if, Eric, you'd put up just a headline, I'm going to address it. It's, I think, the first email I sent you to Hagman Studio. What's important, David, is this. No man, and I monitor everything that's open that I get my hands on to what he says, because a man will speak and eat the fruit of his lips. Or those who believe, and he's not the vicar of Christ. I love what Vladimir Putin said. I truly do. I'm not a Russian agent, but he said that man's no man of God, and he couldn't be more correct. So what's critical, there you go, and I'll go this, dying Pope attacked by demons. Jesus said, if you fail to declare me before men, I will not declare you before my Father which is in heaven. Pope had horrific night screaming at demons trying to drag him to hell, says the Vatican. This isn't the National Presbyterians. This isn't the Church of God. This isn't the Assembly of God. This isn't that or this or the other thing. That is coming from the Vatican. What this left out is he said he saw a portal, Doug, at the end of his bed opening up. And again, the gates of hell, you can literally say that they either allow something through or they keep something back. But we're in the time, you guys, where things are coming into our dimension that have never been here before. Because Jesus said there'd be a time, there'd be no time in history equal to time we're in. And then, Eric, if you put up the next one I sent you, please, because I want people to see this. I don't sit around and make this stuff up, but I want everyone to understand that the Pope himself opened up the fifth portal. Well, they do that every year. No, they don't. No, they don't. No, they don't. I won't pound the ground seven times with my bow and arrow, but I want people to notice this. Pope opens five sacred portals on Christmas Eve, and then it says drones and orbs. This is something that I think people need to understand. And Doug, we did a program together where the word sigil, S-Y-G-I-L, means basically a symbol or a sign. And that formed the sigil for Lucifer himself. And I want people to understand, there are people that claim Lucifer and Satan are not the same. That's not true. Lucifer was his heavenly name. Satan was when God kicked him out of heaven. Satan means the adversary. Lucifer is a light bringer. And what I want everyone to understand is this. When human beings open the portals and the gates of hell, and when God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth, there is no way to explain the total control they had of the earth. But that's why so many of the technocrats, by the way, the majority of them are Illuminists, and meaning they follow the Illuminati. They hate the God of heaven. But as Bill Gates said, I want to get rid of all this religious stuff and worship an AI God. Well, brother, and I mean, that's not a fair, well, Satan's child, I want to correct myself, in my opinion, he just gave the game away because they want, and I want to make it clear again, AI, alien influence, and when I use the term alien, I'm not talking about, extraterrestrials, but I'm talking about extra dimensionals. And so we're going to be in a time of deception unlike any other. So the key to this is he opened the portal, and I can't tell you which portal of damnation is at the end of the bed, but the original reports, all coming from Rome, by the way, this has nothing to do with Protestants taking on the papacy. And it's important to remember that he's the first Jesuit pope in history. Now going fast forward is that the ramifications and the damnifications, and I'll explain damnifications, if you neglect Jesus, if you renounce Jesus, or you don't even accept Jesus, then you will have the fruit of eternity by the decisions you made or didn't make. And now, Eric, for the final one, I'll turn it right back to you, David. I want everyone to hear this. Look at this grimacing devil, in my opinion. Jesus was a beast and a dangerous liar. You guys, this is what he said. He said, you don't need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The church will save you. And by the way, I'm on record. The temple will save you. No, it won't. And I want to remind everybody that in Jesus, as believers in Jesus, that we're grafted in. In other words, those who are Jewish and accept Jesus, they call themselves Messianic believers, and the Christians who are saved by the blood of Jesus are absolutely combined to become the very if you will, the fruit of the resurrection. And when you hear this, Jesus is a liar and Lucifer is the son of God. I want everybody to know, and Doug, I don't know if you know this, but the Vatican has massive amounts of documents that are claiming the aliens created us. Guy Comsalogno, the most famous astrophysicist, one of them in the world, basically stated that since God created all things, which is not true, he created Adam and Eve and all that was good. But when devils create hybrids, that doesn't apply to them. So he said in open discourse, it's in a report, that the aliens will be substituted for Jesus at the correct time, that they are our creators. Well, that's what I've been saying, you know, all along. It's called the Prometheus factor. And why this is so important is because now all over the world, not just in the United States, people with cell phones are taking pictures of stuff that's phenomenal. Spirals in the sky, opening up, all sorts of strange events happening, whether it's giants in Miami or giant aliens in Las Vegas. I mean, that's in this country. What's happening around the world is, to a lot of people, terrifying. And I'm telling you, the word I use is terrifying, because the devil is making his presence known. So it's the devil's dialectic to scare people and then pretend to be a false savior. So I want everybody to know, the temple in Jerusalem won't save you. The Pope in Rome, if you follow him, he'll damn you. And you just saw, those are real headlines. Those are real statements. And if you can't understand that any man that calls Jesus a curse is the spirit of Antichrist. I'm not saying he is the Antichrist, but it is of the spirit. And what is it? First John talks about how we know. You know, anybody who denies Jesus is Lord, which is all, almost all, I don't know of any exceptions to the statement, and I monitor the technocrats, I monitor what they say, and ladies and gentlemen, the oldest lie in the book of Genesis is that ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil, and surely not die. That's transhumanism. That's the word singularity. That's what AI is promising. Eternal life apart from God. You'll never grow old. You'll never die. And you'll always be able to have your perversions, your pleasures. And of course, everybody else will be dead. And they want to have all your stuff. So, you know, Jesus said a man's life doesn't consist of that which he owns. But the ownership of the planet is being fought over right now. And I can tell you, I don't know if you know about our Glyph project, but 3 years ago, I embarked with a team of men and a couple ladies, PhDs around the world, computer scientists, etc., linguists, language specialists, and took all of the glyphs or symbols. By the way, China has 106,000 characters, but each character is not a single noun or single verb or single letter or consonant, because in the glyph, there's a complete sentence. Same thing with a spiral. Spirals worldwide were the expression of literally stargates. And now people are seeing stargates opening up and weird stuff coming through. So why is this important? Because Google, Microsoft, and Meta are spending so much money, I think half a trillion dollars amongst all of them, and their most sycamore, their chip, a quantum computing chip, basically ran into, you ready for this? Ancient symbols, ancient signs, ancient civilizations, and also going back to Sumeria, they ran into statements. And when they deciphered the cuneiform, by the way, I guess a million of 4 million pieces of clay with strange writings on them, and everything had to do with, if it wasn't a receipt, had to do with the monsters and the gods from heaven and the basis of all mythologies. So why am I saying this? Because that is what the most technocratic, finance people in the world are running into. If you take a square box, you call that the parameters or the design parameters or the the algorithms, and now you've got entities, literal entities coming from ancient times, including fallen angels naming themselves. And people say, oh, that's way out there. Yeah, it's way out there. It's coming into our dimension. But when Jesus casts a Gadarene demoniac out, he asks the spirit, what is your name? And the spirit answered, we are legion, for we are many. So what I'm saying to everyone is that it's going to get worse. Beware of the seduction. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And if I'm with a team that already arrived at this conclusion 3 years ago and are building on that, then I want people to understand it's by the grace of God. It's by the current, what would you say, the intervention of God? And I'll turn it right over to you after this, David. The statement when Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me, that means follow after me. It doesn't mean that, you're going to just, take your place behind me. And this is how the Word of God is. Tonight, we're sharing the gospel. You're sharing the scripture. I'm sharing the concepts that are based on the scripture, but people will be attacked. And they'll say, Langford and Quayle are crazy, or, we're Bible thumpers. I said this, I'd rather be a Bible thumper than a hell dumper, meaning dumped into hell. So it is critical that the truth be known. And again, Jesus said he came in the volume of the book, it is written of him to do thy will, O God. And that's the Son of God saying that gates of hell are going to challenge a church, but they won't prevail. The only protection that anybody can have is in the person of Jesus Christ, not your church, not your fellowship that probably, unless they center around the Word of God, it's just basically a coffee club for old guys or a gossip session for women. I mean, I've seen it, for 53 years. So we're at that point, Doug. We're at the point of contact. And I'm not talking about the aliens, although they're coming too. The point is that there's only the protection in Jesus, whether it's demons, whether it's fallen angels, whether it's monsters. And I can tell everybody from my emails and from what I'm reading, the Christians are encountering this stuff, and it's my goal, and I guess my anointing and appointing, to tell people you don't have to be afraid, but you must have a relationship with Jesus. You must seek the power of the Holy Spirit, not assume the power of the Holy Spirit, because we ain't, and I'm using the word ain't on purpose, we ain't seen nothing yet. Go ahead, Pastor.
You were talking about the Pope, his ability to open portals. I don't know that we understand the gravity of the demonic power in his life. This is not something whimsical, that a man can open portals that are demonic. If I remember, Steve, you can correct me, on his mitre is written Pontifex Maximus, High Priest of the Heathen. I mean, they're telling you who they are. They're telling you what they are. 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. For a man to say that Jesus Christ is accursed, etc., his conscience has become seared as with a hot iron. You go back to 2 Corinthians 11:14, Paul said, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The Pope's end will be according to his works. I get criticized profusely. because I advocate works. Works do not save you, but if you are saved, if you are redeemed, if you are renewed in the Spirit of God, you will have works. Even Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his works. What do we not understand about every man, his works? Whether they're good works or they're bad works, you're going to be judged and you're going to be rewarded according to your works. So Paul said the devil, these ministers are going to be so influential because they're transforming themselves into the ministers of righteousness. But they're not ministers of righteousness. They're ministers of Satan. They're deceptive. They're duplicitous. Sometimes I feel like I'm nasty. I feel like I'm dirty because I minister in a world of ministries that I know are convoluted. They're twisted. I feel like I get sullied and I get soiled by being in that media. But I try my best to live right and do right because, you know, at the end of the day, it's either heaven or hell. You can have all the theology, all the eschatology, whatever that it might be. But how is it with your soul on the inside? How is it with your soul? If you died tonight, where would you go? In the last several weeks, I've had a close friend, a minister. I preached for him, been around him for 35 years, but he backslid. He got away from God. And he died unexpectedly at 69 years of age. And I had other arrangements. I couldn't even go to the funeral. I wrote a small eulogy and sent it to be read in my behalf. But I questioned, was the man right with God? Because I knew some things about his life. And I questioned, was he right with God? And then a young man that I used to pastor backslid, left the church, suddenly died last week, 49 years of age. When I was pastoring him, he was in his mid-early 20s, but he died unexpectedly. And I said to my oldest son, I said, I wonder, was he right? He said, Dad, he was using the F word all the time on Facebook. That's not the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus. People can get angry with me. You can criticize me, but there's a right way and there's a wrong way. There's not a multiple ways. There's only two ways in life. Either you're going to go God's way or the way of the world and Satan. It is a choice. Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you shall serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I learned a long time ago, you have to make up your mind that you're going to live right. And every day, Satan, in some way, form, or fashion, he will try to bring something into your life to pull you down, to drag you away, to get you to compromise or tell a lie or do this or do that. No, you have to remain faithful. I think about Peter so often. Jesus said, Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. If it had not been for the intercession of Christ, Peter would have fallen. I mean, terminally. But he said, let me back up to the other verse, Luke 22:31. Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. Every one of us, Satan wants to sift us. That word sift in the Greek means to perforate, to riddle, or to punch holes into. Satan wants to riddle your soul. But Jesus said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. His faith failed in a measure when he's denying Christ. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. That was the doctrine of confession. Steve alluded to it earlier in Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I deny also before my Father which is in heaven. Had Peter died in that state of denial, Jesus would have had no recourse but to deny him before the Father. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you. Intercession is powerful. You need to be in a place you can intercede for your family, for your loved ones. Abraham, why did God come to Abraham and say, I'm not going to hide this thing I'm going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? What was God's purpose and God's intent for coming to Abraham and giving him a chance to intercede? I'll tell you why. His nephew, Lot, was down there. And through Abraham, Lot was in covenant with God, that God was about to destroy everything. And so he shares with Abraham what he's about to do. And Abraham starts off at 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. God said, if there's 10 righteous in the place, I'll spare the whole cities. Abraham was asking for a conclave, a nook, a cranny, just a little bit of people. God said, no, if I find just a little faction of people, I'll spare everything. But they couldn't be found. And to show you God's temperament, he only gave one commandment to Lot, his wife, and his daughters. Don't look back. Do not look back. And I can imagine, we don't even know her name. Jesus just said in Luke 17, 32, remember Lot's wife. I wish I could tell you her name. I don't know it. Jesus didn't tell us. But he said, you better remember her. Why? What was significant in remembering her? Because she looked back. That's all God said. Do not look back. But you know the problem? Her heart was still in Sodom and Gomorrah. She didn't want to give it up. She really wanted to stay there. And the Bible says the angels took them by the hand and was leading them out. But that devil had arrested her, had so much of his power in her life. She said, I'm just going to take a glimpse. I'm just going to barely look back, and that'll be it. And when she looked back from behind Lot, the Bible said she became a pillar of salt. That quickly, she lost her soul. She was on the precipice of being delivered and not being lost. But because she could not control her flesh, she looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. This is not an hour to be complacent and apathetic. This is an hour for dedication. This is an hour of consecration. Jesus got upset with the disciples when he went to pray and he came back. He said, could you not watch with me but 1 hour? He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I often say the flesh was too strong. The flesh dominated. The flesh took the authority. And they went to sleep. And the greatest event up to that time was about to take place, Calvary. And then they were so complacent in their prayer lives, they were asleep. And here it goes, Christ to the cross. I want to encourage everyone tonight, please, read your Bible. Find the time to pray and commune with God. Let me share this in closing tonight. I was actually in a Bible study some weeks ago, and someone alluded to a verse, which was Psalms 51, verse 11, where David said, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And I've quoted that verse 1,000 times, but that night it hit me like never before. I got the revelation. I got the understanding of why David was saying that. Because David watched God take the Holy Spirit from Saul. He saw an evil spirit come and take control of his life. And in the end, Saul went and got the advice of a witch. He saw he was going to die and lose. So he puts his sword into his stomach and he falls on it, kills himself. He commits suicide. And David, being the man that he was, after Nathan indicted him with adultery and murder, and when David realized what had happened, he said, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Then he made another statement. My sin is ever before me. And I dwelt on that. I ruminated. I contemplated. My sin is ever before me. What's he saying? God forgives. God says, when I forgive you, I forget your sins. And it dawned on me, why was David's sins ever before him? I'll tell you why. Because Nathan said, the sword will never leave your house. Mm-hmm. And every time he turned around, something tragic through his family was happening to him. And it was a reminder to him, your sins, though they're forgiven. Nathan said, God has forgiven you. Put it behind you. But the sword will never leave your house. Amnon raped his own sister, Tamar. And then Absalom had a party. And when Amnon got married through the much wine, his buddy stabbed him and they killed him. It was Ahithophel, who was Bathsheba's granddad, who gave Absalom the poor advice and said, take your dad's 10 concubines, put them on the roof of the palace. We'll put tents up and you sleep with all those concubines and let Israel know what you're doing to your dad. And when Ahithophel had done that, he realized what he had done. The Bible said he goes home, he gets his house in order, and he hangs himself. He knew what David would do to him, so he hung himself. My point is, he said, my sin is ever before me, not because of God's torment, but all what he had sown, he witnessed every time. This is because of what I did. I brought this on myself because I disobeyed God and broke his commandments. We're going to reap what we sow. I tell everyone, you better sow the best seed you can because it's going to follow you. It's going to follow you quickly. So sow to the spirit and not to the flesh. Paul said, if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh, you will reap corruption. And all that was happening in David's life was the corruption of the flesh. Corruption of the flesh. And he could have saved his household, his family. I was reading that again the other day, and I just looked at the categories. Number one was adultery with Bathsheba. Number two, he had Joab to put Uriah at the front of the battle so he would get killed. The child that was conceived in that adulterous act died. And then we see after the child died, David went to the temple and he worshiped. And I thought, adultery, murder, death. There's only one thing left a man can do is go to God and say, God, help me. I worship you in spirit and in truth. And that's what he did. But that evil seed had to be reaped because it wasn't dealt with for about a year. David went on like everything was all right. And Nathan came and gave him the parable of the rich man who took the poor man's little lamb. And the Bible tells us David was a man of justice. David was a man of righteousness. And he that quickly indicted himself. And Nathan said, thou art the man. And I thought, oh my Lord, how often do people continue in sin and don't repent and think, well, it'll be all right. You have to deal with your sins, and they will be dealt with at the cross through the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. Not a man, not a church, not a denomination, but what Jesus did on the cross. Now, I want to encourage everyone. As a matter of fact, I want to pray again before we end the night here. I just feel the need to pray for people that are struggling. You're not where you need to be. You know you need to get closer, but you're letting the world and the things therein keep you from where God wants you to be. Father, I thank you so much tonight for this opportunity. Yes, I am not worthy to approach thy hallowed throne, but I come, Lord God, because I see a great need. I see people that are lost, people that are lost without you, Lord. And if you don't touch their lives and they repent of their sins and come to you, Father, through the grace of God, they will forever be lost. I pray the Holy Spirit of God to brood over everyone listening tonight, even tomorrow when this is being re-aired or listening to another podcast, a pre-recorded. Lord, I just ask that the Spirit of grace will move upon every individual, oh God. God, as Psalmist David said, search my heart and know me. Lord, you know everything about us. If there's anything in us that is wrong, God, help us to get it right. I want to be right. I want to be right with you when my day comes to go out into eternity.
Yes,
I want to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many. I'm humbled by that verse. That verse tells me I won't be faithful over everything, but you said you've been faithful over a few things. God, help everyone listening tonight.
Yes.
Help everyone listening right now to be faithful over the few things where they can be faithful. Lord, we're just flesh. Oh, when that passeth away and cometh not again, how oft have we grieved your spirit? How oft have we tempted you? How oft have we resisted you when you were trying to steer us into a particular path and we didn't want to go that way? We didn't want to be led that way because of our flesh. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will touch every one of us, every home, every family, every husband, every wife, every son, every daughter, every mom, every dad, every niece and nephew, grandparents, oh God, touch us all. God, breathe on us with conviction that whatever's wrong in our lives, we'll seek to get it right, Lord. I make no false pretense, Lord. I come to you just as I am, and everyone else, Lord. We can hide nothing from you, though we might try. You know everything about us, our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions, Lord. I ask you now, Father God, to bring the souls that are nearest hell, those that are nearest to going out into eternity, God, bring them in even now and touch them by your power and by your spirit, Lord. I thank you for conviction. Conviction shows a man he's lost, but it also shows a man you're there to save him. For it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Now, Lord, touch this program. Use everything that's been said for your honor and for your praise. Don't leave us, Lord. Don't abandon us, Lord. But God, be with us. And I pray, Lord God, that our lives will be acceptable in thy sight, Lord. Our hearts will be pure. Our hands will be clean. We'll be vessels of honor that are sanctified and meet for your use. That we will live lives that you could use us to witness to our neighbor, to tell our friend, our family members about the Christ of God who saves, who delivers, who makes whole. Father God, I pray for all the teenagers and the young people that are backslidden. They're away from you. There's brokenness in the home and the family. God, I ask you to restore it. I ask you to redeem it. And all those who are troubled even now, Lord, the enemy fights them mentally and emotionally. I rebuke that spirit of vexation, that spirit of torment. Go right now in the name of Jesus through the blood of the Lamb. I pray for deliverance tonight through the cross of Calvary where the blood was shed and where it atones for sin, Father. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. We humbly pray, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Stephen, we'll give it back to you.
Go ahead, Doug.
Pastor, thank you. We needed this tonight, and I feel like we will need this in the coming days, in the coming weeks. And folks, please share this program with people, with your family, with your friends, with everyone you know. I mean, not the platform, but this episode with Pastor Langford. I mean, the scripture laid out. I was taking notes as Pastor was talking, and of course, we need to stick close to God in the coming days. And I want to thank you for that, Pastor. And I know you're a busy man. And I know you've got an early morning. And Steve, I know It's not quite as late for you in the mountain time, but I want to thank you as well for bringing this together. And Pastor, anytime. And I think the other thing, too, is the further out we go from here, to me, is going to be a more treacherous time. And I think that we need to stay grounded. I mean, I see evil in places I never thought I'd see evil before. Right. And by the way, for anyone wondering about those graphics that were up about the Pope, Steve, I'm going to just let you know. And I think you know this. Look, I just want to make sure people understand that the graphics were made by individuals. And laid over the Pope's actual account on X Pontifex, okay? But they came from true reports, Rome reports, for example. And then they were taken, this compilation of interviews were taken and then reconstructed by the People's Voice. It's not that the Pope did not post those statements. It was done through a compilation of interviews where the statements were made or something very similar to that and then reposted after it was compiled. Okay, so just so people don't say, oh, man, you know. No. So folks, understand. Understand what's going on here. In other words, it's the truth, but the graphics were enhanced. That's all. So it's all good. Steve, I just want to make that clear because it's sure as heck somebody's going to say something about that. So, but that's just to keep everything upright and clean on that. So, okay.
Well, thank you, Doug. And here's what I want to close it out with. I have never, and I watched this stuff, heard the word portals opened since I've been on talk radio and podcasts. I've never heard that. The people that came at me who are Catholics said, well, that happens every year. No, it doesn't. And the fifth and final portal is the one that is taking place. Now, I know the scripture, and Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And I watch the words he says. And by the way, I have a background in understanding Malachi Martin, who some Catholics love him, some Catholics hate him. But the truth is its own defense. So what is important is this, is that many times people want to deny the obvious result of opening up portals. And a portal, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail. He's going to build his church. He didn't say, I'm going to build the Catholic Church. And this isn't bashing Catholics. But what people need to know, that every word, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the converse of that is, at no time did Francis ever say that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. Jesus absolutely said he's the only way. Francis made the statement that there are many ways to God. Any spirit that denies Jesus Christ as Lord is the spirit of Antichrist. Amen. Any technocrat that's denying that Jesus Christ is Lord, and again, in the world of AI, listen, there is no love for Jesus. But in the world of the most advanced AI, they've come to the conclusion that symbols from the past, I'm talking about stuff that goes back before the flood of Noah, and before the creation of mankind, the pre-Adamic period. And I'm talking about that the most sophisticated and most expensive scientific endeavor is taking place before our eyes. And even Michio Kaku, the most famous, brilliant living physicist, said what the results did. I mean, there's a couple videos where he's weeping. He said, this causes me to challenge everything I have believed. So what's important is design implies a designer. And what's happening now, everything, and David, you know this too, that everybody can quote Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But no one applies that to what's going on in today's world. They use it as kind of a catchphrase, and Doug, unless people understand what's really going on, unless they pay attention based on the Word of God, what Pastor Langford is trying to say, and not trying to say, he's declaring what the Word of God says, is look, we have a foundational understanding. We have a framework of our belief. It's called the front cover of the Bible and the last cover of the Bible and everything in between. But when people veer from that and say, I think, if somebody says to you, I feel you're wrong, well, they're in the emotional realm, and that's soulish and that's carnal. What does the Word of God say? And when they say, well, I believe, okay, if you want to justify the fact that what you believe takes precedence over the Word of God, show me chapter, show me verse. Because again, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And you know, I cannot believe that people hear what they want to hear. And I can't do anything about that except what Pastor Langford prayed at the end is being played out in reality and in real time. And if people, and I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, I'm chief as a sinner, but I understand grace, I understand mercy, I understand God's righteousness. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about tonight is the basics of the gospel. And people that want, and who doesn't want the restoration of the preeminence of Jesus Christ, but you can't have the resurrection that you want, believe, and hope for without repentance. Amen. And I've heard people say this, I don't have anything to repent for. I said, well, you just undermined your own statement, because God is very clear. And the scripture is very clear, except we repent, we will not see the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the last point I want to make. I mean, this is the last of the last. We're going to see things that most people cannot even embrace.
Amen.
We're going to see monsters, and I mean that, even the genetic manipulations or hybrids that are going to be beyond science fiction. And the only protection we have is the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And the blood of Jesus is what we claim, what we live in and on. And you don't have to be afraid of critics. Let me tell you something about critics. I better make it fast. Critics are already dead in their trespasses and sins. Because when the Holy Spirit comes and convicts them of their sins, they can argue with me, they can argue with David, they can argue with you, Doug, but their arguments are baseless in the face of eternity, eternal damnation, and absolute either be with the Lord Jesus Christ or against him. And somebody once said, the last name people want to hear on earth, if they're living wrong, is the name of Jesus. The first name, or the name they want to remember in hell, they said, if I could only have had another chance. Ladies and gentlemen, it's given man once to die and once to judgment. And I feel compelled in my spirit to tell you that things are going to spin out of control, that most will have their minds blown. And that's why it's important to have the mind of Christ and the helmet of salvation. So, Doug, thank you for hosting this tonight. David, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Steve, thank you so much. And Pastor Langford, thank you. TheVoiceOfEvangelism.com. For Pastor Langford, I would urge everyone to go there, bookmark his website. Again, TheVoiceOfEvangelism.com. And certainly he can be caught on non-cable channels on Christian television. You can see him, Pastor, every Sunday, correct?
Or, yes, CTN, okay. Dish Network and Direct Television, 367 on Direct Television, 262 on Dish at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Perfect. Can't beat that. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Thank God you, Steve. God bless you. Yeah, folks, we are out of time. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Thank you for being part in the chat. Thank you for being part of this platform. And please support those who...